have a time, so I don't like to really read from the computer when I'm giving shir, but I didn't have a printer available. So let's just talk a little bit about the sugyas we've been learning together, about blowing shofar on Shabbos or not blowing shofar on Shabbos, and at least in Machshava, some chizik, some chassidus, maybe a little bit deeper, as to what the reason is we don't blow shofar on Shabbos outside of the halacha concerns, but everything in halacha always has a deeper meaning behind it. So let's try to understand that a little bit. We even mentioned the other day that the Mishnah, Yantav Shor Rosh Hashanah, that Mishnah that we learned, is the only place where the Chazal calls Rosh Hashanah an actual Yantav. There's a certain simcha when Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos. So let's try to understand that a little bit in Machshava. So I want to take a little bit of a step back. I'm going to go really to left field and hopefully bring things everything together. But everything begins in Parshas Bereishis, everything. Rosh Hashanah, of course, is when the world was created. So back in Parshas Bereishis, the story of Cain and Hevel, Cain kills Hevel. The Medrash tells us something interesting, that when Adam HaRishon came across Cain after Cain killed Hevel, and he was given his punishment, so the Medrash explains that Adam asks Cain, so knew what happened to you? What was your din? So Cain said that he did tshuva. Cain did tshuva. He told his father, Adam HaRishon, that he did tshuva. And Adam HaRishon was in utter shock. He didn't know such a thing existed. He didn't know tshuva was a possibility. And in praise of this concept of tshuva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us second chances, so the Medrash says he started to sing a song. He sang a song. We're going to learn a lot about songs next week. And he sang the song of Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. That was a song. Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. So that was a very interesting choice of songs. Why was that the song that Adam HaRishon chose, connecting Shabbos to Tshuva, and the story of Cain and Hevel? So, moreover, the Pasuk tells us that after Cain killed Hevel, so Kadosh Baruch Hu had placed an os, some sign, some os on the forehead of Cain. There's a big discussion what exactly that os was, but according to one Medrash, the os was the os of Shabbos. Shabbos was written across his forehead of some sort. Osi Leolam we refer to as Shabbos. So there's obviously a connection to the story of Cain and Hevel, to Shabbos, to the os of Shabbos, to Tshuva. So a lot of different things going on here we're going to hopefully clarify. So let's understand what exactly was the issue with Cain. Why did Cain kill Hevel? And we of course know that Cain killed Hevel because he was jealous. He was jealous that Hevel's carbon was accepted and his carbon was not accepted. So in and of jealousy, kinna, jealousy comes from when a person looks outside of his Dal Amos, when he looks at his friend, his neighbor, the type of car that he drives maybe, or the accomplishments that he has, or the houses, or dress, or the athleticism, or the wisdom. Whatever area a person sees in his friend, he's jealous, he has kinna. So Cain was jealous of Hevel, and he killed him. It's whenever a person looks outside their Dalet Amos, that's when a person has jealousy. So what was the onesh? What was the punishment? Everything we know in this world is midah k'neged midah. So what was the punishment? So the punishment was that Cain was sent into galus. He was sent into Gullus because since he was looking outside of his own Dalet Amos, he was looking at other people's Dalet Amos, he was looking outside of his Makom. He was sent outside his Makom. He was sent into Gullus. He was Nav and Nud. Maybe Thursday we'll talk more about Nav and Nud, that Indian of wandering and being alone. He was sent Nav and Nud, the Pasuk says. And Rashi explains in the words, Ein lecha reshus ladu remakom echad. You have no right, you have no license to stay in one place. You were given your own place. You were given your makom kavua. You were given your tafkid in this world, and yet you decided to look outside of your kochos, and you looked over at your brother, and you were jealous, so your punishment is that you have no resting place. You don't have your own Dalet Amos. So that was the punishment. So the Imri Emes explains, based on this, that the Os of Shabbos that was given to Cain was that same exact idea. The Indian of Shabbos is lo yetze ish mimkomo. The Pasuk tells us a person is not allowed to leave his makom. On Shabbos, it's about focused on your house, on your family. A person could have a long week of working, a long week of learning. And it comes to Shabbos, is a chance you have to spend time with your wife and your children, your grandchildren, your family. Of course, it's nice during the week as well. But Shabbos is a time where we can't go to work. Shabbos is a time where halachically you can't go outside of tchum. There are borders. There's a certain makom you have to stay within. Carrying hotzah and the eruv and creating areas where you could carry within those areas. So Shabbos was somehow a tikkun, explains Imri Emes, while Cain was looking outside of his Dalet Amos, and he was punished to go Navanadin throughout the world. Shabbos is a way to bring everyone back together, back to their home. Lo yeta ish mimkomo. So that's the connection of the makom, the connection of Shabbos, the connection of the tshuva for Cain. Now Rashi explains, however, that the oath that was given to Cain was the Shem Hashem, not Shabbos. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper now. The Shem Hashem was the oath given. So we, of course, say everything's Elu ve'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim. So how do we reconcile that Shabbos was the oath versus the Shem Hashem is the oath? So the Imri Emes explains which Shem Hashem was used. Hashem has many names. So the name that was used as the oath was the oath of Makom. As in Hamakom Minachem Eschem, Hashem is a name Makom. Hashem is a name that Makom, place. Hashem is everywhere in the world. And certainly when a person loses a loved one, Hamakom Minachem Eschem, Hashem is everywhere, even in times of Tsar, times of Avelis. So that was the Shem Hashem that was used. So yes, it was Machlokis, whether it was Makom, whether it was Shabbos. I'm not sure if anything was actually on the header. I don't know what that means, but somehow the idea of Shabbos and the Shem Hashem Makom are the same exact stress, the same exact emphasis on finding a person's place. Cain needed to find this place, and that was through understanding Shabbos, understanding Hamakom Minachem Eschem. Now, one more medrash explains that it was the Shem Hashem of Yudke Vavke, not Makom. So, which one knew? Was it? Now, again, he had all three. He had Shabbos, he had Makom, he had Yud Kei Vav Kei, I don't know. But the idea of Yud Kei Vav Kei Makom, that stira, whether it's HaMakom, or whether it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, also is not a stira. Because the Zohar explains that every single one of Hashem's Shemos, this is getting a bit deep now, all are derivations of the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. So just this one, I'll share a little gematria with you. I like gematrias. The Zohar writes this gematria. That we know when a person wants to figure out a makom, an area, very simple. If you square the side, right? Let's say it's 6 amos by 6 amos, so 36 amos is how you get the area of the square. So that's a makom, an area. You square the sides. So the Zohar writes that if you take Yud Kei Vav Kei, the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you square each of the letters, so Yud is squared is 100, He squared is 25, Vav squared is 36, A squared is 25. You add those together. You add 100 plus 25 plus 36 plus 25. It gets 186. That's the same exact gematria as Makom, 186. So somehow on the forehead of Cain, there is Shabbos, there is Makom, and there is Yud Kei Vav Kei, all pointing at the same exact idea that Cain needed to find this place. He needed to unravel that kinnah he had. And just to throw out one more gematria to you guys, if you take the gematria of Cain, which is 160, plus Havaya, the Shem Hashem that was on his forehead, that equals 186 as well, which is Makom. So the idea of Kinnah is finding a person's Dalet Amos, finding his Makom. Now further, that Rizal writes that Cain, the Gilgal, one of the Gilgulim of Cain was Moshe Benu. Moshe Benu, the Chida points out, he lived 120 years, which is the gematria of Nud. Nud and Nud, gematria 120. Nud and Nud is 120. Not the Vav, but Nud and Nud. Yeah, you have plus about side. Nud Vinud is 120. So that's a reference to Chida and the other Sfar HaKadoshim bring down. Moshe Benu, and we'll explain maybe Thursday how exactly he was a tikkun of Nud and Nud, but Moshe Benu is certainly connected to Cain as a Gilgal, explains the Arizal. So Moshe Rabbeinu also represented Malkum. Moshe Rabbeinu represented Shabbos. We say that Yismach Moshe B'Matnas Chelko, that the Matana of Shabbos was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was connected Shabbos. He kept Shabbos. He was able to be to keep himself in his Dalad Amos. He was able to accomplish what Cain wasn't able to accomplish through keeping of Shabbos. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood the koach of Makom. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was busy wandering in the Midbar when he had to run away after the whole Maisa with the Mitzri. And then, again, he was told to leave. He was told that the Paro heard about what happened with the Mitzri. He ran to Midian, which connects, by the way, to Dun, Nav, and Nod. It's in there we'll discuss maybe Thursday. He ran away. He was in the Midbar by himself. And he stumbles upon the Sneh, the burning bush. And he hears the voice of Hashem call out to him and tell him, HaMakom asher ata omed alav admas kodesh. The area upon which you stand is admas kodesh. When a person feels lonely, a person feels lost, a person feels jealous, so what he needs to be reminded is the makom that you stand upon is kadosh. Moshe Rabbeinu needed to hear that. That his Dalad Amos is kadosh. And in this way, he was somehow a tikkun, he was a Gilgal of Kain. So Kain, the gematria of Kain plus makom, because Kain needs to find his makom, gematria, those two together equals Moshe, the makolo, which means plus one, which is 346. Moshe was able to accomplish that which Kain wasn't able to. He was able to find his makom, his place in this world. So that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is trying to find a person's makom. How does it connect to shofar Rosh Hashanah? So the idea of shofar is trying to, after a full year, a long year, it's Rosh Hashanah time, we try to look back on our life, our year, and we see what we have not accomplished, we see what we have accomplished. We try to recalibrate, we try to reconfigure and see what we should be doing properly, and sometimes we get lost in what other people are accomplishing. And the shofar is an idea to bring everyone back together. In Kibbutz Galios, times of Mashiach, there's going to be a Tekiah shofar that's going to bring everyone back together to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the base of Mikdash. And there's a Tekiah shofar by Yovel as well, where all the land and all the avadim that were once sent away are going to be brought back to their proper makom, their proper Dalad Amos. The shofar has that ability to bring people back. But Shabbos also has that ability to bring a person back to their Dalad Amos. Somehow Shabbos is a replacement of Tekiah shofar. That's why the reason why I don't blow shofar in Shabbos is Shem Yavirenu Dalad Amos for Shisar Abim. Perhaps you might take that shofar and go outside your Dalad Amos. Shabbos is somehow better than shofar. Shofar is a reminder. It's a reminder. You have to do a lot more to listen to that alarm, to that siren. Still, Shem Yavirenu, when it comes to Shabbos, we don't need the shofar. We have something better than shofar. The Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah, Shchalios B'Shabbos, says the Mishnah. Because when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't need the shofar. We have something greater than the shofar. Shabbos somehow is better than the shofar, reminding us to stay within our Dalad Amos, stay within our lane, with our own skills and strengths, and focus what we could accomplish in this world. Each one of you, you're very young, maybe a couple years apart from each other. You all have different dreams and aspirations. You have goals and fantasies. And you have to try to figure out what your goals should be. You're not in Sims, you're in pre-med. So some guys think you should be in Sims. Maybe you think you should be in Sims, but you decide you're going to be pre-med. Everyone has a different path in life, and that path could change sometimes, but it should change based on what your kochos are, based on what your wants are and your strengths are. And looking around, it becomes challenging. That's the Kain's challenge, was that. But Dalad Amos, Bereshis HaRabim, Dalad Amos has to be done in your place. And this past year, a long year and a half of COVID, we were stuck in our homes, stuck in our Dalad Amos, and trying to figure out what we should be doing. And you guys are a very young, tender age of figuring out what you should be accomplishing. Should you be a Rebbe? Should you be a doctor? Should you be a lawyer? Should you go into business? Many of you have these types of thoughts, but the key is focusing on your kochos, focusing on your abilities, focusing on your strengths. So the shofar helps us reconfigure, and Shabbos helps us reconfigure even greater than that. So Maisa Steinman was once asked the following shaila. Someone in Bnei Brak, he was going to work. He needed to, for a job, he needed to get a car. Nobody has a car in Bnei Brak. So he says to Steinman, I'm very concerned that my neighbors will get jealous of me. I have a car. luxurious to have a car in Bnei Brak. Rav Shimon looks at the man and says, "Have you mastered Shas?" And the man says, "No." "Have you mastered an entire Masechta?" And the man says, "Nope, I've not done that yet either." "Have you mastered a perek, one perek in Shas, any perek?" And the man said, "Nope." He says, "No one's going to be jealous of you." That might fly in Bnei Brak, where the only sense of kina is Limud HaTorah. In Boca, in Five Towns, Bergenfield, wherever else you might come from, may not fly. There's a lot of jealousy going around, but what Rav Shimon was teaching us that the only place of kina is in the Beis Medrash, kina sofrim. It has to be healthy, and we see people grow, people stay in the Beis Medrash longer, get earlier. As long as a person comes, it should be a healthy sense of kina. Sometimes it could get too much, but that's the only place of kina, a person in his growth within Limud HaTorah. But outside of Limud HaTorah, there's no place of kina. Guy's a nicer car, a nicer shirt, a nicer house, a nicer this, a nicer that. There's no place for kinna. It's about finding your Dalat Amos. And coming to a place like Boca is very, very nice here. We're in the Beis Medrash all day. We're not going to the fancy houses all day. They're very nice houses here. Maybe you're staying in a fancy house. I don't know. Maybe you're driving a fancy car. But all day we're spending here in the Beis Medrash here. These are the Dalat Amos. Dalat Amos Shel Halacha. Focusing on what you're able to accomplish. Look around you. Look at the Rebbeim. Look at your friends. Look at the Baal Batim who come, the boys who come to learn at night. These might be you one day. You may not be zocher, may not want to, may not have the kochos, you may not be learning all day long. Not everyone should be doing that. Some people will, some people won't. But you have to look around for role models, how you're going to accomplish the most in your Limud HaTorah and your Avodas Hashem. So the Kedushas Levi says, you know why Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos is a Yantif? There's a kasha on the Kedushas Levi, but you don't ask kashas on Halacha. Kedushas Levi, but the Bedichever explains that because since Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to write, just like we can't write, a Kadosh Baruch Hu can't write either. We're going to discuss actually tomorrow a little bit about a Kadosh Baruch Hu keeping the mitzvahs and keeping the Torah. Does like Hashem keep the mitzvahs? Does he not keep the mitzvahs? But the Kedushas Levi said that a Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps the mitzvahs. It's a ksiva on Shabbos. So Hashem can't write down. He can't write who's going to the Sefer Chaim, who's going to the Sefer Mason. What's the only heter for writing on Shabbos? Is pikuach nefesh, to save a person's life. It says in Kedushas Levi, everybody is written in the Sifrei Tzadikim, in the Sifrei Chaim. Because there's no heter to write in Sifrei Mesim. It's not allowed. You can't have ksiva. There's no heter. There's no pikuach nefesh there. Everyone's written in the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Tzadikim. And that's why it's a yantav shirashan shchalim yisba Shabbos. So the idea is that although there's no shofar, and we're learning the reasons in Halacha why there's no shofar on Shabbos, outside the Beis HaMikdash, of course, or maybe Yerushalayim, like we discussed today. But the real understanding, the idea, the theme is that just like Shofar tries to recalibrate, reconfigure, bring us back to focus on our own Dalat Amos, to get rid of that kinna that Kain had for Hevel. Lo yetzei ish mim komo, not to leave your Dalat Amos. Shabbos does the same thing and perhaps even greater than what the Shofar accomplishes. It's a yantif shorosh Hashanah shchalis b'Shabbos. To remember what you have, what your strengths are, and also know your weaknesses. Because sometimes your weaknesses might be your best strength. Sometimes your weaknesses is the biggest challenge in the world. And we're taught in therapy, learning this quickly, that the Baal Shem Tov explains in the Mishnah and Avos that says, Ezu Gibor HaKovish is Yitzra. Who is a person who's strong? A person who is able to overcome his Yetzirah. So that's Pashup Shat, you overcome your Yetzirah. But the Baal Shem Tov explains that the word Kovish also means to pickle something. Kavushim. So it's a word used in many Mishnayos throughout Shas. Kavush means that you take a cucumber, take a pepper, whatever else people pickle, you put it in vinegar, put some garlic and salt and pepper, whatever else, herbs and spices. Now the cucumber tastes like something. Sour, bitter, sweet, whatever, sugar, whatever you want to put in it. Says the Baal Shem Tov, HaKovish is Yitzhar, what it means is take your Yetzirah. Don't squash it. Don't bury it. Don't ignore it. But utilize it. Channel it. So a person has kinna, let's say. So a person's nature is to be jealous, let's say. So don't squash it. That's what your nature is. What you do is use it to leave it on Torah. A person has a certain, he's competitive. He likes to win ball games. So use it to learn and learn more and push yourself to the limit. whatever your weakness is, says the Baal Shem Tov, use that. Utilize that kina, utilize that drive, utilize whatever that is, and just refocus it, rechannel it. And know your strengths, and know your weaknesses even more. Mitzvah Hashem, this is our first shmooze together. Mitzvah Hashem, we have the next that we can have together. We should continue to grow, learn from each other. I like the little thing we did of going around the fun facts. Let's do more of that. I like the informal, getting together and learning in the same context. So Mitzvah Hashem, we should have a strong month together learning, and everyone enjoy dinner.